You are not to discuss this matter amongst yourselves.
We don't submit reports or ask approval for specific operations, if that's what you mean. We are an autonomous department.
Any questions?
Podcasting from an abandoned subspace relay orbiting Risa, this is Section 31, gathering intelligence for you on Star Trek CCG. Now reporting in, operatives Dan and Rogue.
They know all the secrets that you hide.
Hi. Welcome to Section 31, Episode 314. I'm Dan Hammond.
And I am hungry for pie, Rogue Schindler.
All right. This week, I've got many days to talk about because I went to Gen Con, and that's all pretty much. And we might deviate to a few side topics, but I've got a list of things to talk about because I played in many events and did many things, and we'll just get right into it. Fair enough?
Sounds good.
All right. Let's start off on Tuesday night. Before my flight, I went to play softball.
Right.
And it turns out I caught a line drive off my foot, and it hurt. I was fine that night, but when I got to Chicago, my flight took off at like 11 o'clock, and thank you, you raced me to the airport, and we got there. It was plenty of time, like you said, that TSA pre. I just walked right through and sat down, and I had like half an hour to spare, so that was perfect.
Nice.
You were gracious enough to let me park my car at your place and get cleaned up from softball, so I was not getting onto a plane after playing softball. Thanking you. I'm sure my seatmates thanked you for that as well. When I got to Chicago, I had to walk from Terminal K to Terminal H or something like that. And
oh, God, where you at O'Hara?
Yeah. I was seriously hobbling. Old ladies with walkers were going faster than me. I thought my foot was broken, and I was going to have to go to the hospital when I got to Indianapolis.
Oh,
it
no.
was the worst. And, you know, going to convention where all I'm going to do is, you know, walk around for hours on end looking at stuff and, you know.
Right.
I got better. But that is how my quest started off. I landed in Indianapolis after a short flight and was actually, like I said, feeling a lot better. I took some pain meds that I had in my backpack for just such an occasion. And I realized that I was going to have some time in the morning since my flight was a red eye, right? I got there around 8:30. I took a Lyft, to the hotel, which was like half the price of a cab. So that was great.
Nice.
Knowing that I was going to be there early, I took a look at, cause there's a theater right there. I took a look at the calendar and there was a Star Trek Beyond showing, at like 11 o'clock. So that was perfect. I got to the hotel, I checked in, I dumped my stuff. I got cleaned up a little bit and made a long, slow walk from, because it's like the JW is on one side of the convention center and they're on the far side. You got to go past the convention center and then down past the Hyatt and then there's another block and then you get to the mall.
Yep.
But I got there. I got there as they were rolling up the gate at, you know, 10:30. And I went and got some popcorn. I usually don't ever buy popcorn, but I got some popcorn. I think I had water on me already. Sat down. It was a nice one, swanky, you know, recliner-style seat.
Ah, very nice.
It was in 3D, so I sat pretty far back. When I walked into the theater, I was the only one there. So I was, you know, three quarters back, right in the center. And I think at some point someone else came in. But it was after the trailer started, so I never turned around. And by the time I got up to leave, during the credits, they were already gone. So, as far as I know, that theater was mine. There was nobody around.
Awesome.
I thought I heard some crinkling of some kind of rap or something, but I never saw anybody. So, as far as the movie went, have you had a chance to see it finally?
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned that because almost exactly 24 hours later, at least my time. Caitlin found a theater that does crybaby matinees.
Yeah.
Where you can bring your kids and it's okay. And, you know, you just kind of go into it expecting it. So it's no sweat. So I worked from home and took a long lunch, started early and worked late. And we went over at 11 o'clock and walked into a theater with about 8 people in it. No babies.
Just yours, huh?
So just ours, we're like, well, at first we're like, man, I kind of feel bad now. It was like, yeah, you know what? This is the advertised baby showing. If they're going to come here, they can't get upset because we brought a baby. And, you know, we very defiantly stood our ground only to have her sleep through the whole thing.
All right. Very, was that Baby's first movie?
It was.
That's awesome. I think Cordelia's first movie was Star Trek 2009.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's right. That's hilarious. Think it was.
Because Debbie did the same thing. Took her to a baby showing, or a baby mama showing. Baby and mama, not baby mama. That's something else.
yeah. But yeah.
Yeah. So, having seen Into Darkness, and I think we, I don't know how you felt about the movie. I think we had similar experiences with it. What did you think about this one?
You know, I came in with low expectations. I did not like the whoever cut the. Okay, this is from the director of Fast and the Furious, so we're going to make it Fast and the Furious style trailer for a Star Trek movie trailer. I did not like that. The subsequent trailer was all right, but I was already kind of had a sour taste in my mouth. So, I mean, Star Trek, enough people that I know, that we know, had good reviews of that. I was like, okay, well, you know, cautiously optimistic, but still not really high expectations. Had a great time.
I also had a great time. I agree completely. As you said, my caveat was the same friends that came out of Into Darkness and said, yeah, we had a great time. I did not have a great time. I had an okay time, but I did not have a great time, but I did have a great time with this movie. I liked the first little part was good. The middle part was pretty good. The ending had a lot of things that I kind of was like, oh, this is going to happen. Yay. And you know, I had a good time. I would go see it again. I enjoyed myself. I would go see it again just to see all the little references that, you know, references to Mako stuff and
that was so
all
cool.
The Enterprise stuff and big green hand clutching things in space. All the little things like that. I want to go see it again just so I could pick those up because I enjoyed.
Did you catch that in the credits too?
What in the credits?
During the end credits, their end credits, they always have animated zooming through different bits of space. There was one point where they go, and in the bottom corner, there's a green finger start to reach out.
Oh, no, I missed it. That's funny.
Oh, man, I was laughing so hard. I was the only one.
But we can go into a deeper delve into the movie, perhaps after we've seen it a second time. Maybe we'll get somebody else to talk about it. Needless to say, that was a very enjoyable morning. I got out of the meeting, out of the movie, wandered back. Someone on the boards had posted. I think it was a local had posted to the Gen Con thread that say, "Hey, me and my family want to learn how to play the Star Trek game, but all the sealed deck events are when we have something else scheduled. So, is there anybody that can do something for us and maybe help us out, give us a demo on Wednesday?" So I said,
very cool.
Yeah, I said, sure. All right. So after the movie was over, I think we met at like 2 o'clock. So that was enough to enough time for me to wander all the way back over there, grab my bag, and come back down. We met right in the little bar area on the first floor because they were staying at the JW as well.
Yeah. Perfect.
Those big tables there, they were perfect. So Ed and his wife and son sat down, and eventually their son's friend came over to watch what they were doing. I kind of gave him the quick. This is how you play. They recognize all the cards because they're collectors. They have all the cards back to White Border. Yeah, but they've never actually played.
White Border. So this is 1E?
Yeah, this is first edition. This is kind of a wheelhouse, right? So wow. I had printed a Federation a TNG Federation starter and a TNG Ferengi starter and sleeved it all up with White Border cards, and then I printed out the Klingon starter to take with me. I didn't cut that one up because that would be excessive. But I gave it to him. I should have done the Romulan too. Now that I think about it, because it would just be printing it out. But
sure.
So we sat down and I kind of explained everything to all three of them. And I was like, I've got these two decks here. Do you guys want to give it a try? And they're like, yeah, sure. And so the kid swung around to the other table and he played against his father. And I think the Ferengi ended up just jumping way out ahead. And then the Federation came roaring back. And the father beat the son. And they were both laughing enough about that, and the wife was having a good time. So it was great. Both of them, everyone seemed to be really enjoy it. It's a classic first edition game. They enjoyed the mechanics of the TNG card, the TNG cards. You know, knowing that they would go back and be able to play with all their old stuff with it. So we talked about how, you know, enhance the deck and make things better, and what was available. they didn't kind of quite grasp the, because they must have asked me three or four times, so you can print everything now? But yeah, I talked about the deck builder and how they could put that together. There is one thing that I noticed about, you know, as soon as we were putting the seed cards out and I was explaining the seed phase and putting things out, the starter decks have not been updated with the errata to continuing mission or anything else.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so I didn't...
Like the attentional hands or anything like...
Well, the note about drawing two cards, when you can play two TNG people, one for free,
right,
and then one as your card play, that's two card draws. Well, not anymore, but it used to be.
Right.
And the other was there's that Ferengi in the deck that has six skills that's universal. He's unique now, so that's changed as well.
There's a couple of them. They eroded Ferengi engine. I guess that's not in the starter, but okay. Attention All Hands is in the starter, and that's changed too. You can't report to your ship anymore, right?
Yeah. I think so. I don't think it ever came up. We were just reporting to Outpost to make things simple, but
yeah.
That's going to have to be a project of mine to go through and find out exactly what needs to be changed and update. Yeah. We're going to have to change that personnel up because I think there's two of them in the deck, just to make sure it works.
Oh,
because yeah, those decks are great for teaching because there's a lot of names. Even the Ferengi deck has, you know, Picard in it and a bunch of all the Ferengi that if you've seen any Ferengi, you'd recognize Quark's in there. And, so
Bok.
Yeah. They're good decks to demo. We got to make sure that they're appropriate, right? So that was pretty good. Ed Arneson and his family. I made a note of that. So they had a good time. They emailed me afterward and said, "Ed, thanks again. We had a great time." So I encouraged them to go to the boards and post, and should have told them that we'll be talking about them on the show. But I didn't get that quite that far.
Yeah, that's great. Did you find out where they were from?
Yes, and I filed that away and promptly forgot. I met four new couples through various arrangements at this con, and I think I remember five, because it was the one from Tribbles before. So one is from Chicago, one is from Memphis, one is from, I think these guys were from Michigan, I want to say, I don't remember the other two. So these guys, I think they were maybe Michigan. So I told them.
Yeah, I was saying maybe just hit them on the boards and say, you know, just confirm where they're from and grab an ambassador or somebody, you know, whoever has the closest play group.
Yeah, I want to say, now that I think about it, he might have mentioned that he played in an event, 10 to 15 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah. So they brought decks. They got slaughtered, but they had a good time. But they never picked it up again. So they were hoping to pick it up again. Is what they were doing. His kid was old enough to play and do pretty well with it. Kind of grasp it.
That's sure.
About right. Had a good time. I bid adieu, and I wandered over to meet a group of three others at Granite. Granite is that bar that's on over by Ruth, Chris, and Palomino on the other side of the Hyatt.
Okay. Yep.
We've had a couple of CC kind of gatherings there on Wednesday nights, and I think we had a dinner there Sunday night last year just because we wanted to go back because it was tasty food. I met with these guys. It was Ben Hosp and Sean O'Reilly, and I think it was Michael Moskop. I think those were the three guys. So many people. Even though it was a small show, there were so many people. I'm probably forgetting one of those guys. Anyway, we're going to go test starters, do some play testing. So not only did I have all these, the Klingon and the Fed in this big box, I also had Vulcan and Mirror Starfleet and Klingon for the future testing for the next sets coming out. So we all sat down and grabbed one and kind of played a little, it wasn't quite round robin, but we played once and then shifted seats and played again. And then I've got a page of notes that I posted to the playtest boards about this Vulcan mission needs two VIP and there's only one in the deck, you know, things like that. There's no missions. There's only one support personnel. So if you draw them your opening hand and play them on accident, then you can't use support personnel. Assign support personnel. Little notes like that, which are important for starter testing.
Yeah, definitely good to know.
Yeah, and everyone got to sit down and look at all the cards. They're like, oh look, it's that guy, and that guy, and oh, wow, I managed to get an archer in the 22 deck, and so that was had a good time. On the way in, we ran into the Bay Area guys. So Jeremy Commander and Herman Chan and Stephen Lee.
Yeah,
they were all sitting and chatting up because they always come to town for Jeremy's always doing. Richard New was there, talking about board game stuff, and they were having a nice opening dinner. Jeremy came by again when we were testing and had a look at the cards. But it was great to see them. Unfortunately, our table was on the opposite side of everything from them, so we didn't see them on the way out, except for Jeremy.
No, that's too bad.
But after we were done with the two rounds, the food came out, so we had a great meal. And then we picked up Tribbles, and we had a round of Tribbles. So Wednesday night Tribbles started the con off right?
Yeah, always good to finish with Tribbles.
Yeah. I played just a speed deck and managed to go out like two or three times with not a lot of points, but no one else went out. So I think I won that night. And that would be the last time.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, spoiler alert. But we got back to the room, you know, pretty late, crashed, and got up. I actually did pretty well with the amount of sleep I got, the ratios of sleep, except for Sunday night to Monday morning, because I had a really early flight and we were up really late. But I think for the most part, I did pretty well. I got 7 or 8 hours of sleep. I was usually one of the first ones to bed and one of the last ones out of the room, usually.
Wow.
Yeah. I was surprised. Thursday, I went out to to see our area in the con floor. It was perfect. You know, you when you go across the two skywalks from the JW to the convention center, you go down those steps and keep walking straight and right into the double doors, and our tables are just right there. It was amazing.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's perfect. We got two green covered tables, number 14 and 16, I think, kind of toward the back. But it was super convenient. That's one of the reasons I love the JW, because it's just so close. You don't have to go through the entire convention center to get there. It's just right there. It's perfect. I dropped off some things for Michael, and he was ready to go. I asked him if he wanted me to do anything, because I was the other GM for him. He's like, nope, how about root beer with no ice? All right, I can do that. So I ran off all the way across the mall, all across the convention center to the food court there, grabbed some Chick-fil-A because they had some, you know, grilled nuggets and a big root beer for them. They were the only ones open that early. And after I dropped that off, I wandered to the con floor and went around and did some shopping. I picked up everything I was looking for. I picked up one of their arranged meetings that I had was there was a company that was selling little trinkets at Origins that ran out, but they said that at least they would be at Gen Con, so I ran into them in the game floor and purchased a locket from them, gift for the daughter, and I got the Serenity game for you, which looked awesome. I'm looking forward to having a game of that.
I've been resisting the urge. I got a pack tonight, but I'm gonna take the instruction book with me.
Nice. Yeah. So is it legendary, just like the legendary game that we've been playing? Similar?
It is. It's similar. Apparently, so it's more based on the Legendary Encounters, which is the Alien version, Aliens, Alien 3, Ripley fame, etc. Apparently, there are some slight variations with that version, and this is more based on that, but inherently, it's the same. The card backs are the same, so there is some potential for a crossover, which I'm looking forward to. It should be exciting, but there's definitely that's why I mentioned busting out the instruction booklet, because I've never played the Alien version, aside from knowing that it's similar but slightly different. There are some avatar aspects to it, so we all start with a character for ourselves. So in this case, it's going to be we have the option of the crew from Serenity, and I guess all 9 are used every time. So you can play with 1 to 5 people. You get to choose which of your crew people you want to be the main 5, even if you don't have 5 players, and then you can use the other 4 as support characters.
Okay, cool.
So everybody is there, so you're always going to have the crew of the Serenity. So I'm already hooked. That sounds like it's going to be really cool, and each one has its own little ability that you can use once per game. And they also have a drawback that comes with that. So
right.
That should make things interesting. It's got the rollout mat, like a card mat, instead of a board, the way Villains does. But it looks very familiar.
Okay.
You know, it's got all the same areas, kind of analogs to Serenity. So hopefully by next week, I'll have a better handle on how to play that. And yeah, maybe we can try it out on Friday.
We've got open gaming a week from Friday, right? So that sounds like perfect.
Yeah.
I've been resisting the other Serenity game that you got, since it seems to be just this massive sprawling.
Oh, yeah.
You know, 4 hours slog, but this seems like we played legendary games, you know, and even before we do an RPG night, and it doesn't last terribly long. So I'm in for that. That sounds good. I also wandered around and picked up promos for the Pathfinder game, two of them.
Yes.
Not only did I get the ally, I got a second ally. Did you see the Obsidian Entertainment?
Oh. Yeah, the golem.
Yes. So what they do is they've got a code on the bottom of each one. They're all unique. So you type in the code to the tablet game, and you get that card in the game. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. So I picked up, I think I picked up five. I think I got one for each of us. I'll see how many I managed to snake. I think I've got three of the regular ally, beat a bad or something like that.
Red a big bad.
Red a big bad, yeah. So we can have one in each of our boxes.
Excellent.
Yeah. So that was good. I picked up the other thing I was looking for is those Ultra Pro Pathfinder boxes, you know, with the open up double side, but Ultra Pro.
Oh, yeah.
They didn't have any Origins. They didn't have any here.
Oh, wow.
I was very disappointed. I talked to the guy for a little while. He didn't know what I was talking about. He talked to another guy. Eventually, they determined that they don't have any in stock, and they don't know if they're ever going to get them again.
Wow.
But check their website, so whatever. I was disappointed. I did wander around the floor a bunch more, saw a couple things. What did I see? The dice. I picked up a D6 for you and Charlie.
Excellent.
Because, you know, Gen Con D6. Boy, I got to figure out what pockets I put those in all my bags. I probably got them in all over the place. I'll be pulling them out for a while. That was it. I think there was some other bit of shopping that I did, but I just can't for the life of me remember what it was. After I had purchased everything, it was still pretty early, so I grabbed, took all the bags up to the room, dropped them off, grabbed my Pathfinder ACG stuff, and went down to what is the hall? The ballroom.
Sagamore.
Yeah, the Sagamore Ballroom. They had flipped the locations of everything, so all the ACG stuff was on the other side, but it felt, for some reason, it felt much more open. I don't know why. It was, and our friend Eric was there. You remember Eric? The guy with the ponytail?
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah.
He was there. He had been there all day, and it was, we had played with him at Origins, so he's like, hey, Dan, good to see you. What do we got? And I said, well, right where we left off. So I sat down, and he said, perfect. So we ran Radillo through the end of 4 and part of, they had just finished 4 and we're starting 5. So I think I did 5-1 or 5-A, and then the person that he was playing with, the other lady, Stella, got up and left. And so we went back and did the 3 I was missing from 4, and he'd pull out a different character to play with. And then someone else joined us, and we did another one from 5. And then it was time for triples, so I ran off and ran the 10 p.m. triples. That was a great afternoon. Just lots of chatting about the new decks that were out there. Oh, there was something else that happened. The Pathfinder ACG Open was at that time. I had not bought tickets.
Oh, that's right.
I didn't buy tickets because my GM badge didn't arrive until very late, and they were all sold out by that time. So there are two people that were both from St. Louis with Eric, who had played with them on their Thursday night game, right, where they do their OP. So the three of them were going to play, and they had an open spot at their table. So they sat down, and were getting set up, and I'm like, I got some generics. Can I join you? And the person running the organized play was like, yeah, no one else showed up, so go to it. So I got to sit down and play in the big open event, which was so much fun last year. It was much fun. Much fun last year.
So much fun last year.
Yeah. So this year it was very interesting. You have 100 minutes to complete everything. The first 20 minutes are for deck building. Here is a sealed starter that no one's been able to play with before. There's 3 of them, or 4 of them. There was the Gunslinger, the witch or something. I sent you all those pictures. Do you remember what the other
one?
Yeah,
it was the witch, the gunslinger, the war priest,
yeah,
and the summoner.
Yeah, so three of those I think no one had ever seen before. Maybe two
of
them.
Yeah, the witch only just came out like a week or two ago.
Yeah, so it was available if you had, you know, were keen to play. The gunslinger I looked through at Origins. That was kind of fun. But the other two were brand new. And before we started, they said, all right, if you get through the preliminaries, you'll play in the semifinals. And if you get through the semifinals, you'll play in the finals. And there are three characters in that box. Once you play one, you can't play it again. So it was like, well, do we play the best one now, or do we play the second best one now, you know, or do we just, and then, you know, 10 minutes was already up, and we're still looking through trying to figure out, because we've got to read every card in there to figure out what they do and all the powers. It wasn't just make a deck. It was make a deck, then choose six skill feats, six power feats, and six card feats. All the cards are in the deck are available, and you only got 20 minutes. So
wow.
We didn't finish at 20 minutes. They said if you go over the 20 minute mark, any extra time you take will be deducted from the actual gameplay. So we went over by 4 minutes trying to get everything done. We had to mark up. We had to write down all of our feats, put all our cards that we chose out, and they took a picture of it. It was stressful. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah.
It was tough. We got started about 4 minutes late, like I said. They put out 10 sites, and they said there's three villains. In order to win, you have to get all the villains to one location and then defeat one of the villains there with everything else closed, or, you know, temporarily closed. If you defeat a villain and everything else is closed, but the other two villains aren't in that deck, they will escape to a closed location and reopen it. So
okay, yeah, that sounds like
there's an OP scenario like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
And of course all the decks were preset, you know, with all just the absolute worst, you know, in order. So at least one of our guys had some scrying, so we were able to shuffle things up and get through a few. The other wrinkle was every time you close a location, you get a trivia question, and you have until the end of the scenario to write down an answer on the little slip of paper that you get, and then at the end you turn them all in, and you'll get points for not only how many locations you close, but how many trivia questions you get right. So you can only get a trivia question if you close something. So we got to see eight or nine of I think we closed eight of the sites, and we were feeling really good. I think maybe we closed the ninth. I think there might have been two left over. However it worked out, we got really lucky with where the villains were. I think we only faced one the whole time, so it was shuffled somewhere else. We closed them all. We got all these trivia questions, and these trivia questions were the most obscure questions about all three sets. I think I texted you a few of them because I was so livid. Like, what are the name of the two deck hands that are swapping the deck on the swap the deck card in Skulls and Shackles? What's the name of the dragon, the silver dragon that protects this random keep in Wrath? The only one I even had a close chance for was, what was the name of the Skinsaw Man? What's his first and last name? And it was a scenario that I enjoyed playing, and I played it a few times in the electronics, so I knew his last name was Foxglove, and I thought his first name was Iden or something like that. So we even got that one wrong. It was Aldern. I'm never going to forget Aldern Foxglove now, unfortunately. It turned out
first and last name. That's brutal.
We got zero trivia questions right. I mean, so I felt like had I played through all of Skull and Shackles, I might have been able to get maybe one or two. Had we played through all of Wrath, maybe we're gonna get one or two. I should have at least got the two that we got from Rise of the Rune Lord, since we played through it. We've been playing on the tablet game. It was very disappointing. But, you know, we figured we closed more than the other team that was going at the time. There were two other time slots. We thought we'd have a good chance. We didn't even make it to the semifinals. Apparently other groups closed seven sites and got two questions right, which would be... So we learned I think we were told at the beginning, but we learned, we relearned after we realized that we didn't make it, that the trivia questions were as valuable as closing a site, which is hard to do. So,
jeez.
Yeah, the fact that the folks that I was playing with, they only do OP, so they've never, you know, played through the box. So they.
Oh wow.
You know, the only way they'd get to these weird story things is by pulling them out as part of a scenario. So we were kind of really behind on that. Disappointing. We did not make the next cut.
And all of these are based on actual RPG adventure paths as well. So you have
extra think about that. If we that's all
you have an extra
out of story.
Advantage if you played in that.
Yeah.
But if you don't know, you know, we played ACG only, you know, we haven't played any of those, so that we're at another disadvantage. I wonder if that was the idea, if it was supposed to be something to give an advantage to RPG players who were coming in. But, man, in the open, that seems, man, making them as valuable as the site, that seems like overkill.
Yeah.
Especially not, you know what, I would actually have no problem with that if you had known in advance.
Sure. Or
like if I had known there were going to be trivia, okay, fine, there's trivia. It's hard as balls, and I didn't get it. That's a bummer, but oh well, at least I knew I should have studied. But you don't go into the open thinking, okay, well, I got to learn the decks and I got to know the cards and I got to know how things work. You don't go in thinking, okay, I have to memorize the lore from the adventure path of the box.
Yeah, that was tough.
That's
cool. Eric particularly was quite livid that he had spent, you know, you got to pay extra. It's not just a $2 generic to get into this thing. It's, you know, it's extra to do it. He said, if they're going to do trivia again next year, I'm out. I'm not even going to bother. But one of the guys that I played with last year on our championship team made it all the way to the finals. If you recall our thief from last year, he came to Gen Con with five friends. And
that's right.
Four of them played in the open and didn't let him join. And then he went on to win it all with us.
Right.
So he was at the table with three of his friends this time. And they made it all the way to the end and just didn't quite make it, didn't quite do well enough at the end. But the scenarios, Tannis tells me that the scenarios, that the way they wrote them up this year were a lot better. Their organization was better, so that they're actually going to post the scenarios online soon.
Okay.
So unlike last year, we'll actually be able to do these locally. And the second two sounded really fun. They were the you know, just like last year. The first one was a grind and terrible, and the second two were a lot of fun. The second one was something like you have to when you beat your target rolls, you have to do it by as minimal as possible. So you have to get as close as you can. Maybe it was you name a number and you're trying to get to that number. And the second one was you have to exceed the roll by as much as possible, and that however much you exceed it is added to your score. So yeah,
blow all your resources.
Exactly. Yeah, it's like gluttony and sloth, I think, were the themes. But anyway, that was going on in the background the next few days as I went to the CCG, the Sagamore Ballroom, and played in the games. And you know, we can hear him having a good time in the background. We're like, yeah, grumble, grumble. So after that, we played a few more OP rounds. Organized play rounds, and then I ran off for triples at 10 o'clock. That was pretty good. I think I played... did I play my rescue deck? Your rescue deck? Because I printed out two or three continental winning and, you know, world winning decks to give out to people to play with, and I think yours was one that was on there. Rescue 912, I think, is the one that what you called it.
Yep.
So that was fun. I don't think I won, but I didn't do too bad. So it was a good cap for the night, and that was Thursday. So the next day was Friday, and that was the 1E Masters. And I don't think I mentioned what I was going to be playing. Having not played in a while, I decided that I was going to net deck because, you know, that's what you do when you want to play at a big event and you haven't had time.
True.
But I did want to play Borg. So I was going through my favorite Borg cards and looking to see who had played them recently and if there were any decks to try out.
Nice.
I hadn't played They Will Be Coming yet. If I have, it's been a long time. I think I played it in a TNG-only deck, which was kind of silly and not really a good idea. So I found Kevin Yeager's deck, which was vastly different than anything I played. So I PM'd him and said, hey, you know, this is what I'm used to. Your deck has all these cards. What do you do with this? And he wrote back and said, well, you do this and this and this. And I said, wow, that's, you know, like I said, that's very different than I'm used to, because you know my deck because you played it. It's got a script. And
scripted.
If you go off script, you lose. There's no recovering from that script. This deck has zero script. It is all about getting a cube to your opponent's facility on turn three and just waiting for them to try to do anything, and then you destroy them. That's it. If they don't do anything, you spend your turns using all the Borg tricks to download whatever they want and whatever they need to get the perfect cube for attempting a mission or scouting a location. And then while they're not doing anything, you just wander off. If they go out and do something, you kill everyone. If they don't do anything, you drop a gateway and go to where you want to go and then start scouting. And if they take that as an opportunity to go out, on the next turn you go over, then you kill them. it was exceptionally efficient as the tournament went on, and I learned to play it better and better. It was absolutely brutal. The deck revolves around a change of plans to get several objectives that are not Borg objectives. Established tractor lock allows you to play on your ship, on your tractor beam ship, on an opponent ship. They can't move until their range exceeds your shields. Your shields are 24, so they're not going anywhere. So you just drop one of those on their ship, and then they can't go anywhere. They can't attempt missions. And then on your turn, you change your objective to eliminate Starship, and then they're gone. If they do manage to sneak by you because they've got multiple ships or you don't have the right of, you know, change of plans in hand, they go to a planet mission. If they go to a space mission, they're going to get stopped because there's multiple dilemmas that just end the attempt, and you've got mission debriefing. So you go over there and you blow them up. If you go to a planet mission, there's an undetected beam in with a couple of filters in front of it. And then, garbage scow, so their mission attempt ends. After the mission attempt ends, you play change of plans to go get Post Garrison. And Post Garrison says, you can't attempt the mission until I don't have three security there. And I've got four drones, all with security, all pumping each other up. And if you fight me, I'm going to assimilate you more of your people, and I'm just going to get bigger and bigger. So,
oh my god!
So you can't do planet missions, you can't do space missions, you can't be on the space line, any of those things, and you will lose people, and I will gain people, and then I will go off and do my things at my leisure. As I told every opponent after the game, I'm playing this deck because if I brought this to a local event, everyone would never want to play me again. It was it was absolutely brutal. I played against David Bowling, and he kept turning to Ryan Sutton, who was next to him that I had beaten in the previous round, saying, Ryan, I don't like this deck.
Oh, man.
It was... I didn't lose a game the whole day. I came in second place overall. My first game, I get played against a guy who was just learning to play his deck, and I was just learning to play my deck. He was playing Mirror Quadrant. I think I could have been more aggressive and went to the past and fought him a bit and whittled down his forces. As it was, I just kind of hovered and waited for him to come out. Every time he came out, I blew up an Enterprise or something. But I dallied too long and didn't get any points of my own. So he got no points, I got no points, so it was a true tie.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that would come back to haunt me. I played against... you know, I wrote all this stuff down and then didn't actually remember anything. I played against Ryan Sutton and Steven. No, Steven was Tui. Let's see. Championships. I can find it here. Masters. There we go. There's a tournament. Dan Hammond. So I played against this guy named Lee the first round. All right, Edwin Luttrell.
Okay. You
recognize him from the boards he plays. He was playing a very good Ferengi TNG deck that was fast. Almost faster than me, but not quite. So he got a ship out. He loaded it up. He went off to do a mission. I got my cube ready. I went over to where his headquarters was, and I blew up his ship. No, he picked up his ship because he had Space Time Portal out. He started replaying. I went over and started establishing a station, Transwarp Gateway. He played a ship again, fully loaded, as fast as fast can be. Went over to do a mission again. I stopped him in space. I went over and played an Eliminate Starship, and he said, "All right, I scoop. I'm done. You win." Because there was nothing else to do.
Wow.
Yeah. Edwin went on to not lose another game and win the tournament.
I was
going to
say, you got a full win against him, and how did he end up winning the tournament? But I guess getting all full wins will do it.
Yeah. So that was a good show for me. Full win, 100-0. I went on from there to play. So that's when I played David Bowling. Okay, I got my names backwards. All right, I played David Bowling then. David was playing a Enterprise deck, so the Enterprise time location says you can't battle there, right? So he would keep playing ships, and then I couldn't battle him, so he'd build up, and he'd send one ship out, and I'd lock that down, and then he'd send another ship out, beam the people over, and then fly away. So on my turn, I would blow up the ship that he put out and then go chase the other one down. And so he scored a few points. I scored more points after blowing him up a few times, and I got a modified win. So I think I did. I think I got to 50 points. I probably did a planet in space.
Wow.
Yeah, and he was at 30 or so. So I got a modified win there, which is revenge for the last time we played. David Bullen played a 12 space Borg deck against my my movie era Klingons and just destroyed me and chased me down and blew me up everywhere. So I didn't feel too bad about that. having learned from that experience, I played against Michael Moskop, who was also playing Starfleet. And man, you know, I blew him up, and it was the end pretty much for him. He was just drawing for the rest of the game. But I ran into a new dilemma combo against him, and that is, let's see, I beamed down a bunch of drones. I don't know. I was feeling overconfident, I guess, because I only beamed down a handful. Half of them died. Flapjacks came up, but I had enough red that I protected all four of them, so we kept going. The dilemma that goes onto the mission, and then every time somebody beams, somebody dies.
Oh, okay,
yeah.
Sure. Muraskan.
Yeah, Murasaki effect
something.
Or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mr. Meeksy's effect. so I said, okay, it's on the mission. I won't beam the locutors or the queen down. That's fine. I'll be okay. The next one I hit was alien parasites. Alien parasites allows your opponent to take control of your away team, beam them up
yep.
to your ship, take control of the crew, and do whatever he wants. So he took control of the crew, the away team, beamed them up to the cube, and then beamed down one person at a time until everyone died to the Mixixi effect. So that was bad. I think I had 25 points at the time, and I was doing my planet mission, so he had three or four, that was Parallax Arguers out and the whales. So he was at 35 or 45 points, and I had no people left. So I played my second copy of the drone that lets you pitch two cards and put two cards under your deck, and pretty much did that for a few turns and was able to scrape together a crew just as he had scraped together a crew. So I flew over and blew him up again, and that was mean. And then I established a gateway, and then I assimilated Earth on the last turn.
Wow.
And my plan was to... So that's 40 points, or so 25, 25, 40. So that's 90 points. You get a drone at Resistance is Futile, which I'd already played over at my at my established gateway for the last 10 points, 100 points for the victory. I solved the mission. The last turn was like one of those puzzles where you've got to move your ship around to all these different locations and collect all the people and get the range. And thank goodness I had divert power out so I could add two to that. And then I downloaded the interrupt that doubles your range. So I was going 22 range everywhere. Finally, I got everything I needed. And I'm like, okay, I took everybody with me. So what I'm going to do is at the end of the turn, the queen lets you download a drone. I've got one red drone or whatever drone left I need in the deck. I'm going to download it over there to that outpost. And I'll get the 10 points, and I'll be at 100, and I'll win. I made all those plans, and as I'm probing, I'm realizing I can't play drones to the outpost because it's a Delta Quadrant outpost in an Alpha Quadrant location. The probe is good, and I'm at 90 points, and I'm out of range, and that's the end of that. So what should have been a full win turned into a modified win. So,
oh, man, and that's your 1 point.
So not only did the true tie cost me a victory point, that could have, if that was a modified win, I would have equaled Edwin's total. And since I beat him head-to-head...
You beat him head-to-head.
I would have won.
Oh, man.
Yeah, or the other one, which was a full win as opposed to a modified win. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. In the last round, I played against Ryan Sutton, the fellow... Remember he came out from Tennessee to play in our Continentals here? Was it Continentals?
Yeah, I remember Ryan.
Yeah. So
I played him at Dragon Con a couple times.
Okay, great. He completely destroyed me last time I played him.
Yep, he does that.
Yeah. So I destroyed him because he was playing Maquis, and I killed everyone everywhere. And he was the one who was sitting there playing me. And every time I did something, I would lock down a ship or play a post garrison. David would say, "I really hate that deck." They would just commiserating. I hate the deck too.
Yep.
I would never. There was a thread about what deck do you not want to face? What deck do you dread sitting down across of? If I see somebody play this build, I would scoop like Edwin did. There's nothing you can do. I've tried to think about what you could do to beat it. And the only thing I can think of is playing way too many ships. So you can just, you know, keep beaming around and skating around and bringing way too many security and phasers with you so that you can get past undetected beam-in.
It sounds like you might want some interrupt hate, too. You know, it sounds like it hinges a lot on change of plans, and if you can't
get
those plans out.
You can convert a card draw into change of plans, so anytime I need to play one, I've got three in my hand.
Yeah.
So,
man, that's rough.
Yeah, unless you're playing Goddess of Empathy, there's no luck there.
Aha!
Yeah. So Goddess of Empathy and Shelby. You got to get Shelby.
Yeah, she's good against undetected beam-in.
If you can get past the undetected beam-in, then the post garrison doesn't work and you can solve the mission. But then you have to solve a space mission, and even then you'd have to send a team to get through dilemmas.
No, you don't. You just have to solve 140 points worth of planet missions.
Yes, you could do that. So, as someone said, bring back Iconian Gateway.
Yeah. We're walking.
Yeah, we're walking everywhere. I did feel bad. I felt really good about not losing on the day. I thought that was pretty good showing for a deck that I hadn't played
before.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So, huge thanks to Kevin for answering all my ridiculous questions via PMs. It's an insanely good deck. I would add a few things. You can't pick up Established Tractor Lock with a change of plans because it says your current objective, and your current objective is a Borg objective. So every time I played it, it had to go into my discard pile, and then it had to recycle back into my deck before I could play it again.
Okay.
Which meant there was only one copy in the deck. So after it discarded, because I blew up your ship, you'd have at least two turns to fly around. Now, my opponents didn't know that. So I was being very menacing and just hanging out there, digging as fast as I could to get it back again.
Look intimidating.
Yeah. Probably a second medical would be good. There's only one medical in the deck. And I was always paranoid that it was going to get lost to a plague ship, and then I'd be out of luck. Because you've got to send the medical over. You can't send it over someone who doesn't have medical who's just gaining it, right? You have to send them with the medical person. Otherwise, that doesn't help. So a couple of changes. I probably put an extra change of plans in there because if something goes wrong and you need to keep playing it to get different objectives, that's always good. But there's that cranial transceiver implant lets you download an objective every turn. So in the last round, I was just downloading objectives out of my deck and playing them face down because all the Borg objectives play face down, so they're not your current objective. So I had all my objectives out, so I didn't have to play a change of plans to blow up a ship. I just say, okay, I'll flip this one over now, and I'll kill you.
Wow.
And then that one discards, and okay, I'll flip this one over now, and I'll go back to my mission. There would be turns when I would have Established Gateway open, and I'd probe, and I'd be scouting. And then I would change of plans to do the planet one over there, and then I would change the plans and fly my ship over and blow up a ship because I would change it to eliminate starship. It was insane. I think the deck had answers just about everything except the clock. Those are the two modified wins and the true tie. And that I could have left, because I moved past that outpost. I could have left an outpost, a drone over there to score 10 points against Michael. That was a terrible mistake. That's been living with me for the next few days. But all right, I've talked enough about that. I had a good time. My opponents had a terrible time. I'm retiring the deck. I don't want to do that again.
thank you.
Yeah. I looked at the clock after we were giving out prizes. I'm like, oh my, I'm going to a concert in an hour. I've got to go back to the room and drop all the stuff off because it's a long walk. I ran off to drop all my things. I changed a bit and hoofed it all the way to the theater because it was time for Concert Against Humanity. And I thought last year was entertaining. This year was even better. It was by far the best concert I've ever seen. The comedians were epic. I forgot the name of the lady, but the name of the guy, it's the guy from Bob's Burgers and Flight of the Conchords and Eugene Merman.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh my God, he was hilarious. Paul and Storm were amazing as ever. They did this the introduction to the nun fight again. They did it last year, and I thought that I would never enjoy it as much because I was hearing it for the first time. I heard it again, and I mean, they do little extra, not extra things, but they stopped and they were, I was on the far right side, in front of the person doing signing, and the person doing signing was on her game. She was amazing, and every time she would do something that was just a little bit funny, they'd stop and point it out, and they'd go back and forth a lot. They'd say things just to make her sign, you know, dirty things, and
yep.
Oh
yep.
My God, it was hilarious. And at the end, Jonathan Colton came out and did just all the songs that you know. It was absolutely amazing.
That's awesome.
Just tears streaming down my eyes the whole time. I had thought next year maybe I'd skip Gen Con, but I want to go just so I can go to this concert again. That's how good it was. It was absolutely amazing. They showed this little video at the very beginning of the Cards Against Humanity people going from wherever they were to the con, and one of them took a limo, one of them took a U-Haul, and two guys bought this ridiculous looking car. It was like two cars because the bottom half was a car and then this jacked up car was on top of it, and it was like a 80s Camaro. It was the absolute worst thing you'd ever seen, and it broke down like a block after they bought it, so they had it towed the rest of the way. The first thing they did they rolled it on stage. This ridiculous, ugly, horrendous thing, they rolled onto the stage as part of their entrance, and it was just hilarious. And then they announced that as part of some of this charity event that they were doing, they're going to auction off the car. So $50, $100, $200, and it starts getting up there, $300, $500. The guy in front of me won it for $2,000 or something. So this guy in front of me bought this ridiculous car. He seemed to be pretty happy, no regret. All through the show, they kept throwing things inside it. You know, all right, well, I'll have one of these posters and have a copy of my CD. You know, it was amazing. It was great. I missed the Tribbles at 10 o'clock because the concert started at 8 and we didn't leave until 12:30.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it was just amazing. It makes me want to go on the JoCo cruise because that's all they talked about the whole time.
Yeah.
The one that's leaving out of San Diego in March.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I went back and crashed, got back up the next day, and realized that I hadn't checked the board to see if we advanced because the Pathfinder was at 11 o'clock and the 2E Masters started at 10 o'clock. So I figured, all right, 10 o'clock, I'm going to go down. I'm going to play in one round of 2E just to play with this deck that I spent all the time putting together and testing against Matt. So I got up early, ran over to the OP section, looked at the score, and our name was not amongst the four that were advancing. So I talked to Eric a bit, who was already there, of course. He had been there for several hours playing the organized play stuff, and he was nothing but bitter about how much the trivia was worth. And we kind of commiserated a bit, and I said, all right, well, I'll be back later to play some more. And he said, all right, I'll see you later. So
yeah.
I had a 2E deck, so I sat down and played 2E Masters, and that was fun. So I once again copied a deck. My decision was I was going to play a deck that I did not have to think very much. So I looked online and Charlie and Matt had said, play Klingon, they don't take much thought. So, all right, that sounds like a good idea.
Yeah.
So I went and looked for some Klingon decks that had done well, and Will Hoskin had won the Beermeister with a Klingon deck. So I thought, all right, if you can play a Klingon deck and be completely wasted by the end of it and still win, must be a pretty good deck that you don't have to think a lot with. It was pretty good. It was just a standard Klingon, high strength, all the 8-strength guys, you know, the classic guys, and the Second Heart Worf, or the Strongest Heart, whatever it was. Gowron, the strength 8 Gowron that lets you pitch a treachery guy. So the tricks were that Worf lets you pitch an event to unstop somebody, that Gowron lets you pitch a treachery personnel to unstop or unkill somebody. There was a Relentless in the deck, there were 2 Promises, and there was a Bridge Officer's Test. So those were the tricks, and everything else was just play and go solve mission with really stupid strength guys. That was good. I played against Richard New in the first round and beat him 100 to something. I played against Corbin in the second round and got a modified win against him. And then I played against Stephen Lee. Stephen Lee was playing the fastest TNG deck, cadet deck, I had ever seen. I got some points against him. He was planning a 2-mission win deck on top of all that. But, and you'll enjoy this, the first mission was the 40-pointer, and he had the Future Enterprise there, so it was worth an extra 10 points, so 50 points. and then he goes over to attempt a 35-point mission that you get 5 extra points from if all your people have stats, attributes less than 7 or something like that.
Sure, yep.
With the Enterprise E there, that's 50 points, and you win. He was playing with Kirk, Original Thinker, and so I've got to play extra cards every time, so I'm doing pretty well, but I can't keep up. I've got to play 2 stoppers every time because he either kirks the first one or he doesn't. And he's got enough.
Yep.
He's got so many cadets coming out of his ears. So he's got double attempts, triple attempts, double attempts most of the time. And Kirk was usually in the first or in the second one, and Mott was in the second one. So he attempts. I play some cards. He fails. Last turn, he attempts again. I draw my 2 dilemmas because he's got Mott, and I say I have no play. And he said, what? Because he sent Kirk down with the high integrity, expecting to Kirk my dilemma, and I didn't play anything, so he had solved his mission and he got to 95 points. Because he couldn't bounce Kirk, right? Because I didn't play anything. I had no play. So Kirk made him solve another mission, and I think I got a second mission done, but I couldn't get through the third. Before Kirk and his numerous people in his mission attempts got through the other one. So that was fun. I got a full loss because he got to 100, but it was a close game. He went off to be to play in the final round for all the marbles against Phil as the 2 undefeated players. But then I played against Maggie, who's playing a Bajoran deck, and I had played against a very similar Bajoran deck that Richard was playing in the first round. The Bajoran I Can Play Artifacts deck, with the 20-point mission to start, and then you go do another mission, and you just all the integrity comes in, and you can bounce people with all the orbs nonsense. So I kind of knew what was going on there. I got a full win against her, and then I played against Jeremy Benedict, who was playing a really interesting Ferengi deck. It just used a lot of it used a little bit of commodities, a little bit of speed, and all his people were super high cunning, and he just did 3 missions and. That was pretty much it. It was pretty straightforward, but it was fast enough to hand me a full loss. I wasn't able to beat it, even with all the man. I had a lot of weenie hate for Steven's cadets, and I had a lot of weenie hate for all the Ferengi. But he was able to power through and get through everything. So he won the last round. So I went 3-2 on the day with a modified win. I think that was good enough for 6th place out of 14. That was pretty good, I thought. But it was second edition. It was a pretty good. Had a good day. Stayed around to the end, and then I had packed my my Pathfinder stuff. So after that was over, I wandered back and played a few rounds with Eric, and we got my guy leveled up through most of 5, I think, Adventure Path 5, which was new for the show, and then I stopped and went back and did tribbles at 10 o'clock and just lost horribly. So there was a new guy, another new guy, another new 1A player showed up, and we Maggie gave him a triples deck, and he promptly beat us all with it. So I welcome Maggie to the club of getting beaten with your own deck. Are you muted? I can't hear you.
Oh, I must have leaned against my button.
There you go. Anyway, we convinced him to play triples. He beat everybody, and both my deck and Maggie's deck didn't score a single triple. So we're like, man, this is what we're planning on playing tomorrow. I don't know what to do. but he was nice. He was from a part of Tennessee. I'm blanking on the name. Memphis. He was from Memphis.
Memphis.
So, yeah, okay. We chatted about that for a little while. And he said that he'd been collecting for forever, and he wanted to come by where all the Trek players were because he'd brought some cards and wanted to chat about, you know, deck building. He joined the chat room so that he could, you know, talk to people about the two decks he had put together. He put together a Klingon deck, a Federation deck and a Romulan deck to play against each other. And after about, you know, we played into triples until 11, and after about a half an hour, he said, yeah, so you want to play? I thought, okay, yeah, sure, why not? I'll play with someone else, another new player. So we sat down, and he pulled out the decks, and I had to make a few changes to the Romulan side, and we kind of talked about what the seed phase is, and build dilemma combos, and there were some illegal seed cards and some cards in the seed deck that didn't belong, and the tent only had like three cards. So there was a lot of discussion about it. We probably started around midnight. His wife came by and asked when they could leave at around 11:30, and so we chatted for a while. And while we were playing, it was a good 1 o'clock or 1:30 by the time we finished. But he won. He managed to get. He locked me out with his dilemmas. So he built dilemma combos and then built the deck that couldn't get past him. there was not enough geology that I could draw. It was probably in there somewhere, but I couldn't draw into geology and get past Odo's cousin, and it was locked out a few other places. He ended up winning, so he had a good time. Very nice people. Looking forward, they're going to try to join up to a local play group there and play a little bit. So that was great. So I felt like I had gotten a second player back in the game, but man, it was late. And I had agreed to join Eric at 8 o'clock at the very beginning of the first session for organized play at Pathfinder the next day.
Nothing gets you up at 8 o'clock on Sunday of Gen Con like ACG.
Yeah, especially when you don't get back to the room until midnight or so. No, 1:30 or so. So I crashed, but my alarm went off. I got up. I bought a terrible, terrible bagel to eat on the way there. It was terrible. It was terrible. But we sat down, and he said, you know, I've got to leave at noon because I've got to do shopping, and then I got to drive back to St. Louis. I said, that's fine. I got to leave by 1 o'clock because I got to do some shopping, and Tribbles is at 2. So we powered through all of Adventure Path 6.
Wow.
Yeah, all 5 scenarios. We did the first 2, and then our 2 players from the open came and joined us for the last 3. And man, that last one was brutal. 3 villains, and like the same way, you got to close off all the locations and get them all in one place, and things are going down to reduce your hand size. It was a nightmare. His character was super high level and ridiculous. It was a super healer guy. Every time he can peel off a card from the top of his deck to heal any 2 cards from anyone anywhere on the board. Doesn't have to be the same location.
Wow.
And my character, when you play a spell, you can look at the bottom card of your deck if it's a spell you put in your hand. So once I got 2 auguries, which lets you look at a card, I could look at all the cards in the deck, put whatever card I wanted on top, and then encounter it, and then do it again until the next card I wanted was on top, and then leave the villain on top. So everyone else was wandering, you know, doing their stuff, and I just went to location by location, set everything up for the win. We did that for pretty much all the... That's I don't know how we would have done it if he didn't have his super healing and I didn't have my super, you know, oracle powers. But we got to the end, and so it tiered up the character. Now I want to go back and play, Wrath Season 7, and then do the Wrath Season, the bonus thing. So, you know, you tier up to
8,
and then tier up again to 9, and just max it out. That'd be fun. But anyway, that was the end of Pathfinder. We had a great time. I said goodbye to Eric and wandered off to Tribbles, and gave out, there were 14 people, I think, for Tribbles, or 18 people. There were a ton of people. So I gave out all the decks that I had brought, and just did so poorly in that first round. There were three tables of five. Yeah, so 18 people. Three tables of six, so there were 18 people. The first table finished up super early. The first place person only had like 300,000, so we're feeling good. I think Steven and Herman both got over a million. And there was, I think I got, maybe I got to 500,000, and there was a 700,000. So we were taking top three from each table plus the three wild cards. So I figured I had a chance. But the other table just kept going, and you know when the table keeps going that long,
there was
millions and 700,000s over there. So Maggie got to go from our table, and I think Steven or Herman got to go from our table, maybe both. And no, Maggie got to go from her table, and Steven and Herman got to go from our table. Anyway, I got to sit at the second place table and did pretty well. I think I got second at the second place table, and. Sean O'Reilly ended up winning big the Masters, so congratulations to him. Wow, what an exhausting bunch of Trek and great fun with people. I ended up taking Neil out to dinner that night. We went to a steak place so we could talk about the set we're working on, the Winnie set, project, whatever it is, Courage. Came up with some really interesting ideas over steak and wine, so that was a good idea. All around. Right before I went to Tribbles, I got to demo a game. It was another couple that I had to go meet because Debbie, my wife, had met them at Comic-Con, and I stood in line for like 8 hours, so I went to go talk to them for a while. And I got to do a demo of the game they were selling, this game called Strife. And it was cheap and small, so I bought it. Did you remember playing Love Letter?
You know, I've heard a lot of good things about it, but I have never played it.
Okay, so the idea of that game is you have 10 cards, and each round you play one of them, and everyone has the same 10 cards. So you're trying to kind of vie for, you know, a little strategy about what you're going to play. This has a very similar theme. You have a bunch of hero cards, and you play them each one round, and then you're fighting over locations, and that's how you get your victory points. So it was interesting. It's only two players, but I figure something this small I can throw in the gaming bag. And, you know, always have something to do when we get there early, which is one other person.
Sure, yeah.
And it was a fun game, so I was happy to pay for that. And, like I said, small. Small is important. let's see. Demo for Strife, Tribbles Masters, Dinner with Nail. Man, I went back to the room Sunday night and was planning on crashing early because I had a 6 o'clock flight, which meant, like, 3:30 wake up. So I was planning on going to bed at 9 o'clock, and that's when they had a concert on the green outside. That went until at least 11:30.
And oh, no.
Right up against my window, even through the earplugs, it was terrible. So I finally got to sleep around midnight. I woke up 3 hours later to go to the airport, and that was 21 hours ago. So it's been a long day.
Yeah, you were at my house before I even went to work.
Yeah. Yeah, I was. That's when I landed. I might have slept an hour or two on the flight, but that was about it. I had a great time. The roommates were great. I was rooming up with Ben Hosp and Michael Van Bremen and Nail, the crazy Scotsman. So Michael lives on the West Coast and gets up crazy early every morning. So every morning at like 4:30 a.m., he woke up, just woke up. He didn't wake anybody else up, but he woke up and left the room. He would find breakfast or whatever. About that time, Neil was staggering into the room. Right. So they would pass, and then he would fall on the floor where the warm spot was, where Michael was, or, you know, somewhere nearby, because Michael was crashing. So, you know, I slept comfortably. I slept well. all three of those guys are hilarious. Reeman's great. Haas was entertaining. And Nail was, of course, you know, the crazy Scotsman. So, I remember one morning, he was, I don't know if it was the 1E Masters day. It might have been. Yeah, I think it was. I think it was Friday morning. He said, Dan, I got a problem. Last night, the beers were 25 cents.
Oh, God.
So that was made for an interesting Friday morning at Masters because he had too many beers the night before. And then I looked up down the way, and there's a bottle of Jägermeister sitting on the table. So that's why I don't have to walk anywhere to get a shot. And between rounds, that was great. I'm disappointed that I don't get to go to London to rejoin the craziness that that's going to be. It's going to be mad. But I had a good time. I had a good con. I'm exhausted. I brought back at least one game, plus the game for you, plus coloring books for the kids. I got all of these promos. Had a great time at all the tournaments. Like in 1E, I didn't lose a game. In 2E, I lost a couple of games. In triples, I did terrible. But, yeah, all in all, great show. I got to say, I had so much fun. I wasn't planning on it, but I want to go back again next year. So there you go.
Well, that is a ringing endorsement for what I was already hoping to be an attendance next year. I'm very much looking forward to Gen Con next year, just because having had taken a year off, it's always, you know, get the itch again to go back. But the concert you guys talked about last year, I had already had tickets for something else, which I went and had a great time, but really wanted to check that out. So I'm like 2 years behind on that. I really want to see that. And there was something else going on, but I don't remember what it is. But also, I know I've mentioned before, several of us are looking forward to crap. I can't remember. What's the company that makes all the LCGs? Fantasy Flight. Mm-hmm. Fantasy Flight has purchased the rights to one of my favorite gaming properties, Legend of the Five Rings, from AEG, and is converting it to the LCG format, and is supposed to be releasing that next year. So I am really excited about that. So it sounds like Gen Con is a must attend for the.
I don't see any way around it.
Gamer.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I wasn't expecting to get a demo for a new game, but between playing new games, walking around the con floor was still way too crowded. It was like Comic-Con crowded. But, playing the ACG that I don't get to play locally, playing Trek high level, and having good decks to play with, so I did pretty well. Plus all the folks that, you know, you get to see once or twice a year. I think next year is going to be, should be a good show, and hopefully we get a good crowd. We'll have the room block again, and let's make it happen.
Fantastic. Well, I am bummed I didn't get to go, but for obvious reasons, I'm happy that I didn't. But thank you for that full wrap up and bringing all the intelligence and that awesome game that I'm looking forward to playing. Hopefully we can talk about that some more in a future episode. Maybe next week we will have I'm traveling this week. I think I might be back in time to record next week. So maybe next week we can talk a little bit more about Star Trek Beyond.
That sounds like a good plan.
All right. Well, that's all the intelligence we have for this week. A big fat Gen Con recap. I hope you stuck around through it. I know some other stuff happened in the CCG news, some erratas for the beginning of August. We can talk about that next week as well. But in the meantime, I am Sir Rogue.
And I'm Sir Dan.
And for now, I will remind you all to expand your power in the universe.
And I'm going to go collapse, Dan. You cannot run, you cannot hide, and you cannot defect. They are always watching you, but you cannot defect.